Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Energy Bricks and Building Blocks of Destiny. Moving forward with every ounce of energy you have. The physics of actualization or destiny accomplishment. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
There are two ways to accomplish a destiny. God's way and your way. Your way is Caligasti's way. Because there's only two choices, God's will or your will. Caligasti, he just leads you further away from God's perfect will. Everything else is the permissive will of God. Because this is all so true on a fallen planet, those who choose to become destiny reservists must become the special light forces in the war of wills that exist on a fallen world. The fallen state says, do it fast, do it well, you're under 30. It's a Pepsi generation. And I know I've said these things before in other ways, but it's always so good to remind you what the system says, a fallen system. In Caligasti, he gives many incentives for his fallen corporation. Worldly success is one of them. Fame and all that money can buy. All those are incentives of Caligasti. Jesus says just the opposite. He says, give it all away to the poor. Come and follow me. Now. Now. N-O-W. What a concept. What an Aquarian concept that the Piscean Age didn't quite understand. But now in the Aquarian Age, 2,000 years later, that now is being more and more so understood. What a decision to make. Come and follow me now. Wow. I didn't know if I understood it 2,000 years ago quite so much. But I guess I did at the, towards the end of my life in the first century. All too often, I still want to just go fishing. But that now to me means I can't go fishing. That now still means to me I can't go out and just play music whenever I want to. That now to me means I can't just have the band that may be ready to go play. Because he's setting up the chess pieces for that band to play. I have to wait till his timing comes. The now that he's talking to me about is to be an administrator, to sit behind the computer, to listen to the decisions that I need to make concerning your lives and the lives of others. The now for me means to write articles. The now for me means to edit. The now for me now means to do personal and technical transmissions. The now for me means to counsel you. The now for me means to put minutes, hours of my mind's time into what to do next with some of you. That's my now. It's not my will. It's God's will. And there's a difference. Well, I remember when I first saw Bob Dylan. I just became a born-again Christian. I was a little jealous of him. Because he had already been a star in the 3D Now here he was, I thought, and I didn't know anything about the 4D then, but I thought, now he's going to change the world for Jesus, and I wanted to do that. But my now was going back to Sunlight Ministries, counseling to the street people, to the people in jail, living with them in my halfway house, changing their diapers even at times, you might say. And I could go on. That was my now. Wasn't my will. I had these cards already written up. Sunlight Ministries, Christian Drama and Music Ministry. What Christian drama and music? I was only dealing with street people, people in jail. I didn't have any acting group. 2 years, 3 years later, I had four, five, six people, and then more that I put together an acting group. But that didn't last. The whole ministry didn't last. Nothing lasted except my relationship with Jesus. That's all that lasted. My wife was gone. The ministry was gone. Everything was gone. I couldn't even think about picking up my Martin guitar that I had because that was stolen. The first D28 that I had. That was gone. I had a makeshift, real cheap, put together guitar. I couldn't even think about picking that up. And then one thing after another, something continued to happen to me. The voice, I've told you about that. One day I'm out trying to put up some frames, the outside fence or ceiling on the deck, and I'm cutting in with the use of the razor, and I cut the piece of my thumb right off. And I'm crying out to God when you mention that story about the violinist who cut her finger. Same thing happened to me. I said, oh my God, now I can't even play guitar. Oh! What are you doing? This is not my now. God always seems to have his own way about his now and our now. You know, and that never seems to be quite together with our will and his will. You know, and boy, learning that is quite a process. Even here in divine administration, you still have to learn that. And as time goes on, more of his nows and your nows get together. It works out. But not everything. Not now. Because it's not a perfect world. And even in the mansion words, it might not be together all the time. It's always your will and his will. And your will has to conform to his will. And your nows have to be put aside for God's nows. Follow me now. Oh, but I have a wife and I have to go attend to her. Oh, but I got to go and see my family. Oh, but I got to go back and take care of the cattle. Oh, but now, Jesus said. Now. So what a concept, what a decision that we apostles, change agents, destiny reservists have to make. Of course, you can go out there and be a church member. And your nows don't have to be so up to God's nows. You can live somewhere in the permissive will of God, somewhere on your rancher. And many have chosen to do that, leave the divine administration and go live in your now. God's forgiving. He'll let you do that. If you've taken the mandate vow, he'll work on you a little bit more harder when you're out there, make your life more miserable. Because you've taken the vow. But if you haven't taken the vow, you go out there and you'll make your own life more miserable. Either way, it's not going to work out. Because God is God. And his now is his now. And your now is your now. In divine administration, we have this avenue set up to help you give all that away. Whatever it is, be it finances, be it material things, whatever it may be, whatever you're hanging on to give it all away to the divine administration, to us, to others, to the poor. 2,000 years ago, for those who became apostles and disciples, even disciples of Jesus, he implemented the collection of the tithes by the appointment of the deacons of the church to do the same thing, to give it all away to the deacons to help the poor. Well, once you're able to obey that commandment by Christ, either if you have $1 million or 10 cents, sometimes your 10 cents or your $100 or $300 is just as important to you as the 1 million. And you are just as greedy about that $100 as you are about that $1 million. But once you get through that and you're able to obey that commandment of Jesus, that's one divine energy brick that you've overcome. You can take that brick and put it on the foundation of your eternity. It's over with. I think maybe in the 13th century, as Francis of Assisi, I was able to do that with all the millions that my family had or whatever they had. I said, hey, forget about it. I don't want that. I got an energy brick. You need those energy bricks as destiny reservists. As disciples, as community church members, you might not need those bricks. But if you want to really help change the world and be a global change agent, you want to be an elder, you want to be a mandated minister in divine administration, you want to have that REV before your name, not that you want to use it, you have to have those energy bricks. Then, once you get over that one, you got your brick, then there's the chipping away of your unnecessary cement. You ever see a bricklayer build a brick wall? There's all kind of cement there. I remember I used to watch them in school at the foundation, shops in school, and Conley Vocational, and going to the brick shop and watch them. And they put up, some have these races to put up these brick walls, you know. And there's all this cement dropping from the bricks that they just put up, and you're wondering, when are you going to clean it up and, you know, so make it look nicer? You know, they're going to wait to the end. And some had different ways of doing that. Some would do it real fast, and as they built, their brick walls were so beautiful as they built up. Some looked like caca, you know, and they decided they were going to clean it all up at the last minute. The rules was that they had to be clean at the end. So you watch them in different ways. Some went so far and then cleaned it up. Some waited, and some did it right automatically, you know. Usually, the ones that cleaned it up right away, as soon as they put a brick in, clean, gone. Keep on going, they won. Got to clean up that mess right away before you go on to another block, brick. Chipping away of your unnecessary cement or dio. Going through the training in the boot camp for the spiritual Olympics. This is the boot camp of the spiritual Olympics. God does want you to be all that you can be. I think that the army, you see that army, be all that you can be. You know, I'm sure they got that from God. some promoter for the military was actually got down on their hands and knees one day and said, okay, God, give me something. Be all that you can be in his army. As a matter of fact, all that he ordained you to be. He's ordained you to be all that you can be. He wants you to be that. However, there's a procedure for that to happen. Procedure. Out there in the world of church, that procedure can be extended over a period of 30, 40 years. And then still, you're not really dealing with what you need to deal with. Because the pastor and the six pastors of a 10,000 people church, they don't have time for you. They're lucky if they can counsel with 1/100th of their congregation or whatever. They don't have time for each one of you. And so you have the luxury out there in your 10,000 people churches or 1,000 people churches or whatever to not be confronted with your dial. You have the luxury. You can hear what the pastor says on Sunday morning from the distance, and then you can go home and you can never be confronted ever. Before you could become a general, you have to be a soldier. First a soldier or a student, and then a teacher or a general. But first the student. Everybody wants to come into the community, and after a week, 2 weeks they're here, they want to be a general. Doesn't happen that way. You have to be a student before you can be a teacher. Can the potter mold the clay of your false pride? It's easier for the potter to mold the clay of your humility, not of your false pride. Because the potter has nothing to work with false pride. If you try to work with hard clay, ever try to do that? Boy, it gets miserable. Now you just want to forget it. That the clay has to be pliable in order for you to work with. It has to be flexible. You have to be flexible. You have to be moldable. Many defaults at this point in the sculpturing process. As you first come into the community of divine administration, there's many defaults in you. And so you have to be sculptured. But if you can let Michael finish through with his sculptures of the divine destiny, future studios. Divine destiny, future studios. Studios. Those of us who are chipping away at you, his instruments. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Well, little did I know when I prayed that prayer what I was praying. Maybe I knew this much, but as the centuries have gone by, I've learned more what being an instrument of his peace means. Sometimes I have to be a real like piccolo mandolin. Sometimes I have to be a real strong horn in order to get your attention. Whatever instrument that I have to be, it's an instrument. A lot of times of your adjudication, chipping away, sculpturing you to be and to come form into the image of God. Get rid of that dial, whatever it may be. After that, then you are getting ready to become a decorated general. Decorated. Not just a general. Decorated. After you become a general, you have a few little decorations under your belt. You've got a few bricks under your foundation. And you find out that Caligastia is stronger than you thought. That the battle is not as easy as you think it's going to be. And so perhaps your strength is almost gone. Due to the battle of the two selves actually within you. The lower self and the higher self. So we keep you all in your higher self all the time. How wonderful that would be. But you have the luxury and the will before God to choose where you want to be. Some of you give yourselves the luxury of actually freaking out for weeks at a time. That's why you can't stabilize on the third psychic circle. That's why if you were there, you lost it. Because angel can only be with you from what, you know, can't stay away from you for moments at a time. That's too long. Some of you give yourselves the luxury for freaking out for hours at a time. That's certainly better than weeks, days or weeks at a time. When it gets into weeks at a time, that's really dangerous ground. Because you can make decisions then to really blow the rest of your life. Instead of becoming a concert pianist, you go out there and become a biologist. Not that there's nothing wrong with biologists, but the world needs more concert pianists. Why? Because God's first an artist. He can use a lot of people to become biologists. Millions upon millions, millions of Urantians to concentrate on bird. I mean, basically, that's what it is. But to concentrate on being a concert pianist and hearing the universe of universes singing, wow, that's something different. Coming into your dimension or self is different than staying in Earth. And so, if you can make the right choice, your energy will return to you. You won't be the moped. Even if you think that you're making the right choice out there in the world and becoming whatever, you won't have the energy God wants you to have. But if you make the right choice, your Deo energy will return to you. And you can continue then in the war of good and evil, right and wrong, the rebellion. Becoming an adjudicator in the rebellion rather than a rebellious one. Becoming a solution for the problems rather than part of the problems. Becoming an adjudicator of the mind of wrong choices. That's what God is calling you destiny reservists to be. No matter which way you do it, by direct confrontation, by writing a song, by writing an article, by doing something better than normal, whatever it is, you're becoming a destiny reservist and an adjudicator. Your dream then will return. What dream? The dream that God's put in you when He selected you and called you to be a destiny reservist. Many are called, few are chosen. If you're sitting in this room right now, you've been called and have you chosen? If you've chosen, you've got to continue to choose every day. And actually every moment and every decision. Because He's already called you, you're here. You've heard the call, you came here. But then you got to keep on choosing. Keep on choosing. Not like, oh, I chose back there in 1997. No, no, that's not the attitude. God is dealing with you in the now. The now. His now. Not your now. Not your now what you wanted back then. But the now that He wants from you right now. Then your dream will return. What dream? I never really had a dream. Of course you never really had a dream. You haven't even tuned into it yet. But I guarantee you, once you begin to want to get that dream, God will give it to you so beautifully and brilliantly and tenderly and sensitively whenever you're really ready. But as long as you've got that own now in, your own will in, your own whatever in, you never want to get the dream. Sometimes you say, I want my transmission. Give me my destiny. Why should He give it to you? I bet you 99% of the destinies Paladin's given you is all wrong. Well, a lot of them anyway. Because you weren't ready for your destiny. And so Paladin said, I'll give him this, I'll give this one. Even at the times when he gave them, I said, Paladin, are you really right here? Or, you know. But he has to say something because you want it. But you're still in all your stuff. Why should he give you your destiny? It's really a gift to see the big dream, the real one that God wants you to have. So don't write to me tomorrow morning and say, I want my destiny. You don't really need Paladin. All you need is Jesus and the Spirit of Truth within you. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Now that you have been prepared in many, many other ways, learn to hear from Jesus. Paladin never wants to take the place of the relationship with God and the Spirit of Truth within you. He's just a buffer. That's all he is. A beautiful finality, fun-loving finality. Trying to put you in the direction of your relationship with your God, Jesus Christ, Michael. Whoever wrote the words to this song, they're not all there, but I just took the ones that are important. The impossible dream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to strive when our arms are too weary, to run where the brave do not go. This is our quest, to follow the star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. And the world will be better for this. That one man or woman scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of energy. Courage to reach the unreachable star. Wow. I wonder if I wrote that years ago and somebody stole that from me. Once you got that understood, boy, you mustered up that false pride and that false judgment and all that stuff, then you get another brick, a Deo energy brick. Put it in your foundation. Now you get back in the fight. What fight? Hard to talk about that fight, but it's the fight of yourself chipping away the Deo. And then it's the fight of having to deal being in non-actualization, even though you're doing most everything you think you can right, not being fully actualized because the world out there won't let you. That's what I have to be confronted with all the time. And you still have to be in the fight, be in God's now. So you get in the fight and you find out again, the enemy, boy, he's such a formidable foe. You become batter wary. You can. But be careful when you become batter wary that you don't become complacent at this point. Because if you become complacent, wherever you are in the community, whatever function and position that you're in, you leave the battles then to someone else. You avoid the battles. You make the decisions. Well, you don't have to confront somebody or another person or do that. You leave the tough battles to the young. And when you leave the tough battles to the young, guess what? You become old. Because youth doesn't have to do with the chronology of the physical body. It has to do with the spirit within you. That's why I'm eternally 29. And I find out that even when my body feels like it's falling apart, I can get up and do the Rocky dance. Because my spirit commands my body. My spirit commands my body. Not the other way around. My body doesn't command my spirit. So when I'm called to do the now, whatever it might be, my spirit will command my body. Even though I may have aches and pains all over my body, my spirit will command my body. And yours too. And so you can't decide to become an armchair general. You have to get in the war. You can't, okay, did you blah, 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 on the phone, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that. You can't sit in your little corner of your paradise and become an armchair mandated person. You have to get in the war. What war? The war between good and evil. The adjudication that's going on right now between the bright and morning star and Lucifer. The war of allowing others to chip away at you, allowing God to chip away at you. All that is a war that's going on. You need to get back there in the front lines. You can't be like some of the generals in the armies of the Dio armies that sat back up on the hill and said, charge! And the men charge, and they're sitting back up there in the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Now you got to get down there with the troops, be right out there in front and lead the soldiers. Faith over fear. Boy, wow. Sometimes when you lose just one string of your prideful character, you're ready to quit. Just one string. been touched. Well, consider the great concert violinist, Niccolo Paganini. He was standing before a packed house surrounded by his full orchestra. He was playing a number of very difficult pieces, and he came to one of his favorites, which was a violin concerto. Shortly after he was underway and the Italian audience was sitting in rapt attention, one of the strings on his violin snapped and hung down from the instrument. It's like you guys when you've been confronted with one thing, judgment. Your string just hanging down there. Everyone knows. It's got around the community. Your string is snapped. Paganini, however, relying on his genius, he improvised and played on the next three strings. To his surprise, and the conductor's as well, a second string broke. Now they know about my envy. Two strings are hanging. Envy and judgment, everyone knows. Now there were two dangling as he again began to improvise and play the piece on the two remaining strings. You guessed it. Boy, God was dealing with him that day, wasn't he? You guessed it. Almost at the end of this magnificent concerto, a third string snapped. Oh, no! God not only knows about my judgment and envy, and everyone knows, but now he's dealing with me with my jealousies. Three strings hanging down there snapped. How are you going to continue in front of everybody? You're not a professional anymore. Now there were three dangling strings. Yet he finished the piece on one string. Can you finish the piece on one string? The audience stood to their feet, and they applauded until their hands were numb. They never thought to ask for an encore. They expected to leave, but Paganini held out his instrument high in the air and said, Paganini in one string, and he proceeded to play an encore with the full orchestra. Can you do that with your one string? I think you can. He made more music from one string than many violinists ever could do on four. From that one string. The difference, of course, aside from his superb abilities, was one of attitude. Attitude. He knew himself. He knew that if those three strings were there, he could have did more, but he was willing to deal with the one string that God left for him. One string that God left. He said, I'll make the best of that one string, and I'll show them that I can be the best one stringer there is. Instead of falling to despair and self-pity, Paganini's splendid attitude allowed him to take a very difficult situation and turn it into triumph. That's what you guys can do too. I know you can. I want to close with Nelson Mandela's beautiful, short, but powerful speech that he made in his 1994 inaugural speech. Listen very carefully. So power-packed, so beautiful. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Thank you all. God bless you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.